Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The Pentagon has been talking about cutting the number of American troops in Iraq, and there are signs that may be coming. The military is starting to send thousands of pieces of equipment back home. In the last 4 months, some 24,000 items, including 7,000 Humvees, have been tagged for the return trip to the USA. Officials say they don't need as much equipment because more Iraqi units are joining the fight against rebel insurgents. But the old stuff won't be junked. Instead, once it's back in the U.S., it will be rebuilt and then sent to active and reserve units in the U.S., and some may even go back to Iraq to be used by Iraqi forces. A defense official in Washington says militants did behead at least one, maybe both, of the soldiers who were captured in Iraq on Friday. The description confirms the fears raised by U.S. and Iraqi officials, who said the bodies that have been found were mutilated, the remains being flown into Dover Air Force Base in Delaware today for official DNA testing to confirm the identities. The House Homeland Security Committee chairman says it was a stab in the back. Republican Congressman Peter King of New York talking about the cuts in anti-terrorism money for New York City. King says he wants Homeland Security to rethink those budget plans. The mayor of New York City also said it was wrong to cut the anti-terrorism funding by 40%. And the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Chief says if smaller cities in the U.S. are really at risk, lawmakers should find extra cash for them. But he says if one city in America is not safe, no city is safe. Federal agents showed up at a prison in Florida today to arrest six of the guards there, but one guard apparently had other ideas. Authorities say he opened fire, starting a gunfight that left him dead, along with one of the agents, a prison officer, wounded. The guards have been indicted on corruption charges, accused of trading booze, drugs, and cash for sex from women prisoners. According to a law enforcement source, FBI agents and justice investigators never expected they'd be armed. The woman who got into the White House to heckle China as president this spring will have all the charges dropped if she stays out of trouble. Wang Wenyi got some credentials to the April event through a newspaper run by the spiritual group, the Falun Gong, that's banned in China. With George Bush looking on, Chinese President Hu Jintao began to speak. That's when she started yelling, shouting at Bush to stop him from killing. They've reached a deal, though, with federal prosecutors. If she does not confront any foreign officials, the charges will be dropped. This is Air America Radio News.
Yeah, I thought it was absurd for people to think that we're more dangerous than Iran.
Oh, my God, don't get me started. Good evening, True Seekers. Welcome to the program. My name is Mike Malloy. This is Air America. A quick reminder, this Friday, day after tomorrow, the 23rd, if you're between the ages of 13 and 17, we want to hear from you. It's going to be our third or fourth, I don't know, Ute night. We want to hear from young people, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 years of age. The topics pretty much be up to you, and we want to hear what you have to say. Most of the people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s who listen to this program, especially when we have Youth Night, always send me emails just completely blown away by what the young kids say. So if you are 13 through 17, we'd like to hear from you Friday night, okay? Greg Pallas will be with us next hour to talk about his latest book, Armed Madhouse, and a couple of other things that he has written, been writing. And President Chucklenuts was at the European Union Summit in Vienna today. So that means we have some more on sounds for you tonight as well. All in all, just a action-packed program. Got an email from from John. Tony Part will come clear in a second. John writes, "Hey, Mike, dig your show, as do my pals. Anyway, a friend wanted me to get his letter out about Ted Nugent. My friend is a NAM vet, and actually the Chicago Tribune printed it June 8th, he said. So here it is. I think you'll dig it. If you need any more info or anything, let me know, and I'll get the message to him. He asked me to convey it to anyone interested and wants it out there as is in the copy and paste." And then he included a copy and paste. "Thanks," John writes. All right, it's a letter to the editor of the Chicago Tribune that apparently got published. And I haven't checked it, but, I haven't written to the Tribune or checked the Tribune's website to see if it really got published. But, I really don't care. It's a good letter. I'm going to accept at face value what my correspondent wrote here and assume that it was published. But it has to do with Ted Nugent. As you know, Ted Nugent, I think he's still on the board of directors of the National Rifle Association. He's crazy, and I don't mean that in, hey, he's really a crazy rock and roller. I mean, this son of a bitch is crazy, all right? This is Ted Nugent. Everybody knows Ted Nugent. He was interesting 35 years ago when he was doing rock and roll, but he's crazy now. So here's the letter. "Dear Editor, another picture of Ted Nugent posing with America's military heroes as if he's one of them? Evidently, he's since changed his crusty, urine-soaked pants that he wore to his draft board physical, or the National Guardsmen would have been posing with their military-issued gas masks. Nugent claims he's paid his dues for avoiding the Vietnam draft. How so? By playing his guitar and getting rich while over 58,000 men bled and died for his right to wave his guns around. Lacking the courage that even conscientious objectors exhibited, he bragged to the Detroit Free Press in 1990 that, quote, 30 days before his draft board physical, he stopped all forms of physical hygiene. The last 10 days, he ingested nothing but Vienna sausages and Pepsi. And a week before his draft board physical, he stopped using bathrooms altogether, virtually living inside pants caked with his own excrement, stained by his own urine." End quote. Back to the letter that was sent to the Tribune. "Nugent's flag-waving rhetoric won't change what he did. I'm sure the military men and women with whom he frequently poses are unaware of Nugent's cowardice. As a Vietnam veteran, I am not swayed by his pathetic justification for his hypocrisy. Why do the country music stations continue to attack the Dixie Chicks and Jane Fonda while Nugent is idolized as a patriot? Jane Fonda and the Dixie Chicks have more guts and cleaner panties than this phony has been." And it's signed Tony Nozzi. Yeah, the right wing. I don't care if it's right wing entertainers, right wing politicians, right wing religious con artists. It doesn't make any difference. These mega church pastors and everybody on the right wing is either a coward or a liar or both about everything. The cowardice is astonishing to me. It really is, especially among the men. I think about some of the, oh, there's a woman here in Georgia, Sadie, the head of the Christian Coalition, Sadie something, a real screwed up old woman, I think her son or her daughter is gay, but she heads a Christian Coalition and constantly is stomping on gay people, in the state of Georgia, constantly without let up. And she's a coward. She's an absolute coward. Instead of addressing the issue, And accepting the people who happen to be gay, produced that way by her own God, they take the coward's approach of attack and diminish and demonize folks. But Ted Nugent and these other war pigs are singularly disgusting to me. They really are. Limbaugh's another one. Hannity's another one. Neil Bortz is another one. These people who glory at war and death and destruction and the troops and can't wait to fling their arms around returning soldiers, and every one of these cowardly little punks cut and run, to use their term, when it was their turn to go kill in the name of corporate America during Vietnam. I've never failed to be amazed at the monumental cowardice of right wingers. It's astonishing. There's not a right wing, a neocon, a Bush supporter out there who would stand up on his hind legs and act like a man if challenged. These people cut and run so fast, and all you hear is a squishy sound as they urinate all over themselves out of fear that they'll be discovered for what they are. They are the ones who troll the websites looking for young girls. They are the ones who beat their wives. They are the ones who molest their children. They are the ones who cheat any possible way they can on their marriages, their taxes, their business deals. The stench of right-wingers is just unbelievable, unbelievable. But the thing that has just constantly got my attention is the cowardice of right-wingers, the absolute terror that they have in facing up to what they claim to believe in. It's fear that has that pungent kind of sweaty odor. I swear to God, I can meet a man. I can't differentiate that well with women who are cowards and who are not, but I can meet a man at a party or at a bar or I don't know, just meet somebody, a guy, and I can tell you within 2 minutes whether or not he's got severe back trouble like most right wingers, you know, a wide yellow streak running from the base of his skull to the top of his ass, and most of these right wingers do. Absolute cowards. Limbaugh is the classic example. This tirade he went off on the other day about how liberals are celebrating the hideous deaths of these two soldiers. The disgusting pig, Limbaugh, is the one who facilitated an illegal, unnecessary, murderous attack on another country that ultimately resulted in the occupation and the deaths of these two soldiers. Limbaugh and Hannity and Savage are as blood-drenched with the blood of innocent people, nearly to the same extent as these pigs in the White House and the State Department and the U.S. Congress. Maybe more so. Because Limbaugh and Hannity and Coulter and Savage and the rest of these degenerates, they had the microphones. They had the airwaves. And they went without being challenged and pushed and facilitated this war. And every one of them is a stinking, filthy coward, including this has-been guitar player, Ted Nugent.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? We
we wouldn't need the police no more, because everybody'd have a gun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Nobody'd ever get shot, because everybody'd have a gun.
Makes sense. Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? We could go out and shoot things. We could go out and shoot things. We could go out and shoot things. We could go out and shoot things.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AliveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show?
Maybe
because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary. It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose, not to save the world, just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
Church bells rang.
ammunition against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Now he's gone, I don't know why. And till this day, sometimes I cry. He didn't even say goodbye, he didn't take the time to lie. Bang, bang, he shot me down, bang, bang, I hit the ground, bang, bang. That awful sound, bang, bang. My baby shot me down.
It's 22 past the hour. Is that your Nugent tribute there, Catherine?
Nugent, Cheney, somebody.
Whoever.
Scalia.
Right. This is the summer solstice. And if I had any sense, I would be out somewhere in a field tonight dancing around a bonfire, celebrating the god and goddess and inviting the spirits of the north, south, east, and west to come and check out our dance and our songs. Huh? On the summer solstice a long time ago, I'm going to tell this story. My brother, Danny, was dealing with colon cancer that eventually killed him. And we were on an island off the coast of Florida, my brother Danny and our mother and his son and two of my children. And it was a given that Danny was going to die. But we decided, I decided, because my family wasn't too tuned in to pagan stuff, I decided to have a healing ritual. So as the sun set that night, and a lot of this I made up myself, as the sun set that night, I drew a pentagraph in the sand, a huge one, with the one of the points of the graph pointing at this setting sun. And there was a huge circle in the middle of it. Inside that circle, I dug a pit. And gathered, had my kids help me, gathered a whole bunch of firewood, driftwood, filled the pit with driftwood. And then back at the house, or the house we rented, I took a little cup and put some Wesson oil, cooking oil, olive oil, I don't know, something in it. And my girlfriend at the time was with us, and I dumped in a little bit of her perfume. So all of a sudden I had a nice perfumed oil. And then I got some candles and cut them all up so that all of us had a small candle. And then I told everybody, to all my kids and my girlfriend and my mother and my brother, to come down to the fire. I said, I'm going to go down and start the fire, and you all come down. Wait just a couple of minutes. When you see the fire or the sand dunes, come on down. So they did. Well, I stood at the gate, at the door, so to speak, to the sacred circle, and as my family members came through, I put the pentagraph on their forehead, dipped my finger into this oil, and put the little pentagraph on their forehead, and lit their candle. And then they came into the circle and went to their right all the way around. And each member of the family did that, and I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. First, we invoked the spirits of the north, south, east, and west, and the god and the goddess, to come and observe and hopefully find favor on our healing circle. And as we stood around the fire, it was starting to get dark now, as we stood around the fire, I said, what I'd like everybody to do is to approach the fire pit with your lit candle and think whatever thought you want, and then toss your candle into the fire pit, and along with it will go your thought, your wish, your hope, your dream, and the smoke will carry it up to the god and the goddess, or wherever, and perhaps it'll be granted or observed. So everybody did that, and then I had gotten at the library, because this is a long time ago, before we took this trip, a prayer, an incantation, but it's really a prayer for a healing that is ancient, very, very, very old. And it had been translated, I guess, from the Celt language or Norman language or some language into readable, pronounceable English. So I read that, and then each person around the campfire, and these are all family members, there are about eight of us, I guess, each person gave a kind of a testimonial about what he or she was thinking at the time. And my son Chris was only, oh my God, Chris was only 10 at the time. And Libby, I guess, was about 17, and I think Wendy was about 21, and my brother Danny was in his 30, he was 40. And my mom, and then my brother Danny's son. So we all did that. And it was just absolutely wonderful. And at the beach on this island off the coast of Florida, it was a moonless night, but there were stars, just light years. You could see stars. And after we did the ritual, we left the circle. And by prearrangement, we lay down in the sand with our hands touching. In kind of another circle, but just kind of free form, and stared at the stars and hoped that Danny would survive. And he didn't.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken and Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either. So please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Why did I get a show? Well, maybe it's because I'm not afraid to say what we're all thinking. First, politicians. You get paid to work, not talk. Start fixing gas prices. Get serious about Iraq, Iran, and immigration. Next, Brittany, Paris, Tom, Katie. What kind of idols do our kids have these days? I'm just looking for a little common sense here and there. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
26 before the hour. Greg Palast will join us after the top of the hour. All right, Chuckle Nuts is in Vienna, Austria, participating in his limited way in the U.S.-European Union summit. In and of itself, it's astonishing to me. The leaders of the how many, 14, 15, 16 nations that make up the European Union inviting Bush, given what Bush is doing to this country and the direction he has put us on, that it's going to be like turning an oil tanker, the USS, or not USS, but the Condoleezza Rice, let's pick a name, an Exxon Mobil tanker. That's how difficult in a shipping channel. That's how difficult it's going to be to turn this country around. So, the US-EU meetings will kind of wither away. It'll be China-EU meetings in the very near future. Bush and his thugs have determined that the United States will be nothing more than a country where shell corporations might maintain their headquarters. But anyway, from his opening remarks, Chucklenuts tries to justify the torture rooms at Guantanamo to the rest of the world.
They brought up the concern about Guantanamo. And I understand your concerns, but let me explain my position. First, I'd like to end Guantanamo.
Then do it.
I'd like it to be over with.
Then do it.
One of the things we will do is we'll send people back to their home countries.
Do it.
We've got about 400 people there left. 200 have been sent back. 400 are there. There are some who need to be tried in U.S. courts. They're cold-blooded killers. They will murder somebody if they're let out on the street.
Oh,
and yet,
Christ,
we believe there ought to be a way forward in the court of law. And I'm waiting for the Supreme Court of the United States to determine the proper venue in which these people can be tried.
Oh, it's the Supreme Court's fault. Okay.
So I understand the concerns of the leaders. They expressed the concerns of the European leaders and the European people about what Guantanamo says. I also shared with them my deep desire to end this program, but also I assured them that we will not going to let people out on the street that will do you harm.
Oh, Georgie, oh, you're such a sweetie. Come here, let me give you a big kiss. You're going to keep people off the street that will do me harm. Oh, are the European Union nations somehow threatened by the people that your CIA and your thugs have rounded up in the deserts of Afghanistan and slammed into a torture facility? They probably weren't concerned about seeking revenge, George, until you did this to them. What does he say here? There are some who need to be tried in U.S. courts? You sick bastard! You and your regime have done everything to prevent that. What is with this guy? Does he really think that the leaders of the European Union countries and the press that is assembled to hear this half-assed talk, that they're going to buy that? They understand the U.S. courts. These people can't even see a U.S. attorney. Oh, my God. He just stands there and lies and lies and lies. And gets away with it. Did anybody in media report that today? Did Wolf Blitzer or Charlie Gibson or anybody get out there and say George Bush told a massive lie during his press availability? Did anyone report that? I don't think so. Next came the Q&A portion of this love fest. First reporter asked about a nation that has actual nuclear weapon capabilities, unlike Iraq, and that would be North Korea. Now, as you listen to Man or Monkey answer, you know the European audience is wondering how this mini-mind came to be the leader of the free world. Reporter says, on the North Korean long-range missile test, where does the EU stand on possible penalties for such a test?
The North Koreans have made agreements with us in the past, And we expect them to keep their agreements.
What?
For example, agreements on test launches. We think it'd be in the world's interest to know what they're testing, what they intend to do on their test.
Oh, my God.
It should make people nervous when non-transparent regimes that that have announced that they've got nuclear warheads fire missiles. I was pleased to see that the Chinese spoke out to the North Korean government and suggested they not fire, you know, whatever it is on their missile.
Jesus Christ, whatever it is on their missile? It's ice cream with sprinkles, half-wit. No. It's silly putty. No. It's toothpicks. That's it. Jesus, what could be on a missile, George? He says it should make people nervous when non-transparent regimes that have announced that they've got nuclear weapons, warheads fire missiles, and then he laughs. Well, okay, it sure makes me nervous that you've got an arsenal, as you put it, at your disposal, that's nuclear-tipped and transparent? Well, we've got another one here that gets to the transparent thing. Now, speaking of nukes, how are Iran's nuclear tests coming? Iran's? Nuclear energy test. Reporter asked about Bush's timetable for response from Iran to his bogus little toy offer of incentives to halt nuclear testing. His reporter says, Mr. Bush, if Iran says it will respond to the offer in late August, is that a suitable time frame? And I would ask all of you, he's referring to all the people on the stage, Iran's foreign minister says some kind of negotiations can start before a final answer is given. Mr. President Bush, are you willing to do that?
Our position, Steve, is that we'll come to the table when they verifiably suspend. Period.
Yeah.
And we expect them to verifiably suspend. This is what they said they would do to the EU3. Secondly, the August 22nd date, is that part of your question? Yeah. It seems like an awful long time for a reasonable answer. For a reasonable proposal. A long time for an answer. And it shouldn't take the Iranians that long to analyze what is a reasonable deal.
So, okay, then I guess we should look for our dropping the big one before the 22nd of August, in other words, and kind of on the same topic with all these nuclear nations running about waving warheads. Whatever happened to the color-coded terror alerts we were treated to every few weeks? That's right. They disappeared along with Rainbow Ridge right after the, 2002 election, 2004 election? Poof. Remember all that fun and frivolity? Whatever happened to that, huh? Finally, the European press gets a shot at this half-wit. This is fun to watch. The reporter says, if I may, to President Bush, you've got Iran's nuclear program, you've got North Korea, yet most Europeans consider the United States the biggest threat to global stability. Do you have any regrets about that, Mr. Bush?
That's absurd, my statement. That is, the United States is... we'll defend ourselves, but at the same time, we're actively working with our partners to spread peace and democracy. And so whoever says that is just an absurd statement.
Whoever says that? Most of Europe, all of South America, most of Asia. Oh, really? The United States will defend ourselves, against unarmed nations who pose no threat to us that happen to have oil. We will march in and butcher them. And then when our people get butchered, we'll all act surprised and we'll scream. And I'll call Rush Limbaugh and tell him to attack the liberals. Last bit of fun and frivolity for this evening. Another European reporter has a follow-up. Mr. President, you said this is absurd, that your country is seen as destabilizing the world. But you might be aware that in Europe, the image of America is still falling, and dramatically in some areas. Let me give you some numbers. In Austria, this country, only 14% of the people believe that the United States is doing anything good for peace. 64% think that the United States is bad. In the United Kingdom, your ally, there are more citizens who believe that U.S. policy under your leadership is helping to destabilize the world. So my question to you is, why do you think that you failed so badly to convince Europeans to win their heads and hearts and minds?
Well, I thought it was absurd for people to think that we're more dangerous than Iran. we're a transparent democracy. People know exactly what's on our mind. We debate things in the open. We've got a legislative process that's active. I look, people didn't agree with my decision on Iraq. And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
For Europe, September the 11th was a moment. For us, it was a change of thinking. I vowed to the American people I would do everything I could to defend our people, and will. I fully understood that the longer we got away from September the 11th, more people would forget the lessons of September the 11th, but I'm not going to forget them.
Say 9-11 again. Say it again, Chuckle Nuts. You still think it's a magic wand to make people forget how god-awful your presidency has been for the entire planet? We're a transparent democracy? Oh, yeah. Look at Cheney's energy policy meetings, for example. You can see right through those. Or the fact that the government looks into our phone records of millions of innocent Americans? Yeah, that's transparent. We arrest people now with no probable cause. We don't need warrants. We don't need anything. Oh, yeah, we're transparent. We've got a legislative process that's active, he says. Yeah, run by neocons who shut Democrats out of committees and close off debate and introduce election year junk like flag burning and gay marriage instead of doing the people's business. And the thing that's astonishing to me is this half-wit dumbass stands there on the world stage and thinks, he honestly believes in his gross, putrid stupidity and ignorance that the assembled reporters from the international press and the assembled global leaders are sitting there thinking themselves, gosh, he's such a leader. No, George, they're sitting there thinking that you are a psychopathic killer, and they all better be careful, because if they fart, you're going to drop an A-bomb on them. Astonishing.
What is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a
this is
White
Air America.
House garden talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the A-head. I'm the commander. I'm the
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're $10,000 in credit card debt or more and are making minimum monthly payments but getting nowhere, Debt Relief USA has the answer. Call 1-800-509-4205 now. Debt Relief USA has ways through special programs to reduce your principal and interest. You may qualify to reduce your credit card debt as much as 75%. Just call 1-800-509-4205 for a risk-free debt analysis. Stop losing sleep over annoying, harassing phone calls. Don't even consider bankruptcy until you know your options. We cannot help unless you call 1-800-509-4205 today. Our debt relief specialists understand and know the answer to getting you out of credit card debt fast. Just one call will put your life back on track. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call for a free debt evaluation at 1-800-509-4205 for the relief you need. Debt Relief USA is helping Americans re-secure their financial future one client at a time, excluding Maryland and New York.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's about 8 minutes before the hour. Let's take a couple of phone calls here in the last little part of this hour, and then after the break at the top of the hour, we're going to be talking with Greg Pallas. Will is calling from Michigan. Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to mention a couple things. First, I know it's short notice, but for Youth Night, if you're interested in guests, you might want to try getting Ava Lowry on.
Yeah, I know who she is, that 15-year-old, but we are just, I don't think we have time. And besides, the real issue here, I think, not that this young lady does not qualify. She's a teenager. She fits into the age group. But we're trying to get kids to call in who just have a point of view that they have somehow distilled or synthesized on their own. And I realize that Ava's the same way, too. But I just don't think we have time to do that. But it's a good suggestion.
The other thing I wanted to talk about is an ongoing protest that we've been doing here in Michigan's 8th District, Mike Rogers.
Uh-huh.
We've been protesting once a week. We've been picketing outside his local office here in Lansing.
Good for you.
He happens to be right down the block from a florist who's sympathetic to the peace movement, and they're delivering flowers as a anti-war message to the congressman's office.
Well, I hope they're dead flowers.
Well, we actually had somebody deliver some dead roses the last time we did this, and we're doing it when we know that the congressman's going to be in the district rather than in Washington, D.C. And we're trying to encourage people in other districts to take up this protest, and we just started a website. It's still in development, but it's petalsforpeace.com, petals as in petals on flowers.
Uh-huh.
FORpeace.com.
Now the object is what? To win these unconscionable killer thugs over by sending them flowers?
Well, we were inspired by the Rose Revolution in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia.
Yeah, but those people are just run of the mill communist butchers. This is the United States, where we have right wingers who would kill your mama and your children if they thought it would get them an extra 15 votes. Good luck with this. I come from a heritage that says you don't send them flowers, your enemy. You put a severed horse's head in their bed.
Well, the flowers are in memory of the people who have been killed in the war.
Do you enclose some sort of a card or missive that states that?
We encourage people to write their own messages.
I see. All right. Well, I'm certainly not running it down or denigrating it. It just I can't get to that level of consciousness yet. You know what I'm saying? I do respect you people who can actually step outside of whatever you're feeling about these killers and try to approach them on a level that's more humane than they would ever be able to approach you. I can't do that. You know, I would just as soon wait in the alley with a baseball bat. I'm sorry.
Actually, we've been locked out of Congressman Rogers' office because their excuse is that a member of their office staff is allergic to the flowers.
Oh my God! Well, of course. Of course, be allergic to flowers. Most ghouls and vampires are.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with it. What's the website again?
Petalsforpeace.com.
Petalsforpeace.com, and it's in the. You're just building it now.
Yeah, we're just starting to develop it. It's up, and we've got some information on it, but there'll be more information soon.
Okay. Well, I hope it attracts people whose consciousness has evolved and elevated to a higher plane than mine. And there are literally billions of people out there who qualify. And I wish you the best with it. I just I don't think I could do it, Will. I would be so inclined to. Yeah, I'll send flowers, but there'll be a timing device in the box, you know, that sets off a stink bomb, or worse, as soon as it's opened. But good luck with it. Okay.
Thanks.
All right, Will. Appreciate your call. Take care. All right, we'll be back after the break. Greg Palast will be with us. If they haven't detained him, stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
America Radio.
Bob Harris to tell you about my new Smart Balance Omega Plus Light Mayonnaise with flax oil and plant sterols. New Smart Balance Omega Mayo has 500 milligrams of omega-3s per serving, natural plant sterols to help offset cholesterol, and half the fat and calories of regular mayonnaise. Enjoy my new Smart Balance Omega Light Mayonnaise in salads and sandwiches. You get an omega-3 wallop in every tasty dollop of my new Smart Balance Light Mayonnaise.
Hi, it's Glenn Beck. I know. Who's he? I'm the guy with a new show on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace. Now, why would Headline News give me a show?
Maybe
because politically correct really isn't in my vocabulary. It's time somebody says what we're all thinking, from politics to pop culture. Every night, Headline News sets me loose, not to save the world, just to look for some common sense. Watch me, Glenn Beck, every night on Headline News at 9 Eastern and Pacific after Nancy Grace.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. 3 decades after the Voting Rights Act helped millions of blacks in America exercise their right to cast a ballot, efforts to renew it are now in trouble. House Republican leaders are postponing a vote, saying they need time to address the concerns of colleagues. Lawmakers from 9 southern states are contending their states are being unfairly singled out for federal oversight. Temporary provisions of the 1965 Act expire next year, but leaders of both parties were hoping an early renewal would help their prospects this coming election year. A House vote on a 25-year renewal was scheduled for today. Now it's unclear if it'll even happen this year. An identical bill to be considered next week by the Senate Judiciary Committee, but the chairman says there's less pressure to do that if the House does not act. Minimum wage workers won't be getting a raise anytime soon. A plan to hike the current rate of $5.15 an hour fell 8 vote short in the Senate today. Democrats back the increase. Republicans call it a job killer. Although some states have a higher federal minimum wage, the federal rate has been the same since 1997. Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy says if enough of his fellow Democrats win this November and take control of the Senate, a minimum wage hike will be one of the first things they consider. Concerned that year-long deployments to Iraq may be wearing out American soldiers, the U.S. Army now working toward shortening combat tours by as much as half. Army Secretary Francis Harvey saying today, quote, "We'd like to get ourselves to a situation where we can deploy the soldiers for 6 to 9 months. How quickly the Army can shorten deployments depends on how soon Iraq's own security forces are ready to take on greater responsibility." Harvey said U.S. troops have trained about 260 Iraqi army and police forces, hope to raise that number by 325,000 by the end of the year. He says he's concerned that some troops facing another year away from their families could be discouraged from reenlisting. George Bush warning the detention center at Guantanamo Bay is holding what he called cold-blooded killers who might strike again if let out. Speaking in Austria, Bush acknowledged some European concerns about the detainees. But he says while he would like to close Guantanamo Bay, it still holds people who need to be brought to justice. There was more talk from Bush on Iran. He told European leaders that some of Iran does not need till mid-August to respond to that Western plan for ending its nuclear activities. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. This is Air America. My name is Mike Malloy. Joining us from our studios in New York now is Bruce, and I consider a friend, although we haven't spent a whole lot of time together, Greg Palace. Hey, Greg.
You're my friend. You're maybe my last friend. Don't say you're not my friend.
I guess I could say the same thing. I read something today. It was a chapter out of your book. I've not finished your book yet. The book that's out right now is Armed Madhouse. It's taken from an Allen Ginsberg poem, the title. And when I first saw the title, Greg, it just went through me like a knife. I wasn't aware that it was a line from a Ginsberg poem, but the term "armed madhouse," Jesus, that conjures up just horrible images. But what I read today was the necklacing of Dan Rather, a section of Armed Madhouse, and it was put out on the internet separate from the book. We can talk about that in a little bit because today Dan Rather
walked the plank.
But let's talk about something else. The book itself. I told you the other night when you and I were talking about something. I guess that it was. I think it's the best book you wrote. A lot of people disagreed and said the best book is the best democracy money can buy. But this one is intense. It gets to the point. It's got this macabre humor that you're becoming known for, and I'd thoroughly recommend people get this.
It has a fish curry recipe that you really can't miss. It does on page 162, and it also has the four-color chart of the secret history of the war over oil in Iraq. You know, it's inside. It's glued because my capitalist pig publisher, when I got them to agree to four-color poster to put in, they glued it inside because they knew that the Air America listeners would shoplift the stuff in Barnes & Noble and rip out the poster and not buy the book.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't know how you know that, but by God, you do. Norman Solomon wrote something today, or I got it today, about the seesaw, my words, not his, of atrocities. He acknowledged the horror of the death of these two soldiers the other day, the butchering of them.
Yeah, why were they there?
Right, but raises the issue about the butchering that we have been perpetrating against Iraqis now for 3 years. And I'm having trouble with this. I really am.
You got a problem with butchering. Well, one of the problems is what are we doing there, okay? I mean, and that was one of the big, that was part of my investigation. For those who don't know me, I'm a BBC television reporter, do investigative reporting from England, because, you know, it's illegal under Patriot Act 3 in the United States.
Everybody who listens to this program knows who you are.
Yeah. But, you know, but what happens is we did an investigation, and, you know, like a lot of people, you know, as in those, you know, watching demonstrations, no blood for oil.
Right, right.
You know, and which is, by the way, a bad slogan, Mike, because, you know, most Americans think blood for oil is a bargain.
They really do.
I thought, well, we went in to get the oil. And then what I found out when I did the investigation and got in among the oil boys and got the 323-page document, which I show, I don't reproduce the whole thing, but you got a page of it in here, a key page. What were they really up to? And it was, they weren't using Exxon wasn't using its exploration company, the 82nd Airborne, to find oil, to bring it back so it'd be nice and cheap for you to fill up your Hummer, but rather, it was to go in, get the oil, and turn off the spigots. And now once I found it out, and once I actually got the documentation, this is the actual State Department document for the development of the oil fields of Iraq. And which, by the way, the government told BBC did not exist in writing. We've been told by the Defense State White House it doesn't exist. But the document that does exist says we went in there to control the flow of oil, that it would never exceed the limits set by our friends, the Saudis. In other words, in fact, they use the phrase enhance OPEC, enhance the oil cartel. That's what we're there for. And so for those who think we screwed up, therefore, you know, that you know, the pipelines are blowing up and it's chaos, just remember when Bill Clinton left office, oil was like $20 a barrel, cheaper than peanut butter.
Right.
And now it's 20, it's 70 and change.
Mm-hmm.
Mission accomplished, Mike.
Well, when you called in the other night and mentioned this, I immediately, when you went through about 3 or 4 minute explanation of a longer version of what you just said, I just got a rush of emails from people that said, oh, my God, now I understand.
Yeah, I mean, well, you have to understand, it took me 2 years, so you got the 3-minute version. And the interesting thing, by the way, is that, of course, you're not supposed to know this, Mike. In fact, what happened when I busted the story for BBC and then put a little bit in Harper's Magazine, the oil company executives who secretly drew up the plans, even though it says Washington, D.C., in fact, it was drafted in our nation's capital, Houston, at the James Baker Institute. He's the lawyer who represents, you know, Saudi Arabia and Exxon, right? They drew it up, the Exxon Saudi guys. And they said, we never spoke to Greg Palast. This is like a fabrication, even though I had the document. We never spoke to him. And so, and they demanded, their lawyers said, we're suing Harper's into oblivion unless you retract it. And the editor, Lewis Lapham, said, well, of course we will retract it as soon as you tell us which part of this audio tape is not you. It's true. When I was in NPR, you know, because I was wearing wires, right, which I do for BBC. And NPR said, host said, we don't do that at NPR. And I said, I know that.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
exactly. Right. Oh, not on National Petroleum Radio, no.
The you've got something that was sent to me a few days ago titled Unreported, the Zarqawi Invitation. And it goes on to talk about Jay Garner, General Jay Garner, who was originally sent to...
he's our viceroy that we sent in, the first guy.
Yeah, we sent him there, but he got fired very quickly. Rumsfeld didn't like him.
Yeah.
Go into that a little bit, if you would.
Well, what happened was is that the first plan, I told you about this oil plan, but I got a plan before that was 101 pages long in the brown envelope. And BBC said, you better go find out what this plan is for Iraq. It's for the economic occupation of Iraq. Mm-hmm. And it called for selling off all the state's assets, which is like everything, you know, like selling off their bridges and their water systems. And, said, and especially the oil. That's a phrase in there, especially the oil. And it was unbelievable. And it even had things like changing the copyright laws of Iraq, right? Like we're going in the first invasion plan with a program to change the nation's copyright laws, you know. And it turned out, by the way, that all that stuff was written by Jack Abramoff's partner, Grover Norquist.
Grover Norquist.
Okay, so he put together, so we got these lobbies, corporate lobbies, literally sitting around coming up with, well, let's see, what do we want when we get Iraq? New copyright laws. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. They sold off the banks to Zelik's friends.
They were just going to strip everything, every asset in that country. Yeah. Astonishing.
Well, you're astonished, and you're shocked, Mike.
I am. Was
you're shocked. Well, anyway, but what happened with Garner? Garner had been there 4 years running the northern zone, the Kurdish zone.
Right.
So he knew Iraq. And he put together, he was ready. He said he had what he called a big tent meeting, the Sunni Shiites, the Kurds, and they were ready to divide up, you know, the resources, the politics, hold quick elections. They were ready to choose up a president, you know, and just, they're ready to roll. To, you know, there was no insurgency at the time. It's only like 40 days into, since the invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got the plan. I said, do you recognize the plan? He said, yeah, I recognize it. He said, I thought I should, yeah. I said, you didn't follow this plan. He said, I thought a plan for occupation should have something about, like, stopping cholera, you know, like gathering the crops, people don't starve.
Right.
And he says he gets a plan for the new copyright laws. And, by the way, tax cuts for the rich of Iraq. Like, tax cuts.
Sure.
You know, it's like, it's an invasion. Well, tax cuts, right? You know, what do you think democracy is? But there was nothing in there about elections. So he called for snap elections, and he wouldn't put in the plan. He said, and so he said to me, Garner, he said, well, you know, I said, why didn't you implement the plan? He said, well, it's their country. That's already a dangerous thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then he added the words he really shouldn't have said. He said, and it's their oil. That night, Rumsfeld called him at midnight and said, don't unpack. You're out of there. You're out of Baghdad. You're out of there.
That's incredible. Yeah, I am shocked because, you know, I understand, figuratively speaking, rape and plunder and pillage, but what was...
it's cool to see the documents.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. But to see it on this scale, that's what's astonishing to me. Hold on a second.
Sure.
Greg, if you don't mind, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. We're talking with Greg Palast. His newest book out, and if you haven't read it, shame on you, Armed Madhouse. The title itself is worth the price of the book. Get it, Armed Madhouse. We'll be right back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Mulley.
It's about fear and control of those barrels of black gold. Yeah, step up, folks, to another war where we never really say what we're fighting for. It's easy to pretend we're defending our native soil. Put it in the headlines. Don't want to see.
see it in big lights. Hello, it's about oil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for The Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
Fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty 21 past the hour. We're talking with Greg Pallas, author most recently of Armed Madhouse and other assorted reportage on the Bush crime family. You know, giving, laying out, as you just did, what the real plan was for Iraq, the absolute stripping of everything, the wallpaper, everything was going to be taken from the Iraqis, copyright laws, tax cuts for the rich, and so on and so forth. Was this a template for other assaults on other countries that had done nothing to us, or was it uniquely Iraq's fate?
Well, it was the template. In fact, except that usually it's done through the IMF squeezing the financial windpipes.
Yeah, it's a
little
less...
By the way, in fact, if you think of it, don't forget Paul Wolfowitz, who came up with that first plan with the copyright laws and all that stuff that let the lobbyists run amok. Yeah. He was the guy shepherding that baby.
And he's now head of the World Bank.
And he was actually demoted. Because, you know, actually in Bush world, becoming president of the World Bank is a demotion because, the real guys... The real guys with testosterone, you know, are in the war room, moving around toy tanks. They're not afraid to do that.
That's right.
Part of the book is this battle that I talk about, inside battle between big oil and the neocons. And so the Wolfowitz lost that one, and so he gets the booby prize of going to the World Bank and lending money to Bangladeshi chicken farmers.
Yeah, but this is certainly not the first time, and given the rise of China, it may be the last. But this is not the first time that we have used the United States military to totally take over, loot, pillage, and destroy another country. This has been going on since 1898, I guess, since the American Empire decided to thrust itself out there on the world stage. But this is in incredibly blatantly an act of aggression that I bleed, Greg, because Americans don't understand this.
Well, it's practice. I mean, they got to work on the Iraqis so they can get up what it takes to go after Venezuela, because that's the next front.
No,
forget the Punch and Judy show in Iran. That's one of the things I try to bring out in the book, and that's why I have a chapter called The Assassination of Hugo Chavez.
Mm-hmm. I read today that the quote left-leaning close quote head of Bolivia now is getting nervous because he is saying that the U.S. military is invading his country. Only they are coming in not dressed in uniforms, not coming in troop transports. They're coming in as students and tourists. Is this just a justifiable paranoia, or is it kind of out there?
It could be both, knowing Morales. I know, I know a lot of these heads of states, and I was just down with Hugo Chavez. I think Chavez has a better bead on what the heck is going on down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the guy that they really want to go after. Bolivia is already a toy of the IMF. There's nothing much that they could do. They're already an oil colony. And what they really want to do is they really want to go after Chavez. So, yeah, we are using Cold War methods. We have infiltrated Venezuela. It's really quite a dangerous place. But we're not going to use the 82nd Airborne for more oil exploration there because those people shoot back.
Yeah, they do. And they get very pissed off when they find out that there is an American warship waiting off their just outside their territorial waters to assist in an attack or to spirit away, in this case, Hugo Chavez.
Well, you know, let's put it this way. I mean, of course, they helped kidnap in 2002. I was talking with Chavez last month in Caracas, and you can see why they're going after him, because he's offered America, by the way, a big cut in the price of oil. He said he'd like to see the price of oil drop by a third.
Well, he wants it to level off at $50 a barrel, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's his opening. And he says every low-income community in the United States will get permanent, forever, big cheap discounts on heating oil. That would be part of the deal with the lower cost of oil for everyone, the lower cost of gas. And therefore, our president, his response to this offer was channeled through his spiritual advisor, the Reverend Pat Robertson, and said, Hugo Chavez thinks you're trying to assassinate him, and I think we ought to just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Because part of the deal is, one of the documents we found in the book that the Department of Energy said, how'd you get that document? We said, we don't remember it, BBC. It's a document that shows that Hugo Chavez has not only more oil than Saudi Arabia, but about five times as much oil. And they, you know, so, and all that oil is under Venezuela. It's heavy oil. And
it's heavier, you know, and it requires a stronger refining process, right?
Yeah, more refining process. You got to suck it up hard, you know. Right. But they got it, you know, that's a big problem. We got to get rid of that guy. He's on our oil for some reason.
Yeah, he's sitting on our oil, the little bastard. Hey, stay right there, sure, if you don't mind, Greg. Another break. We'll be back. We're talking with Greg Pallas. You want to take some phone calls?
Sure.
All right, let's do that.
I'm not afraid.
866-303-2270. If you'd like to direct a question to Greg Pallas, what the hell? And maybe Dee can check with the folks on hold and see if they would like to do that. We'll be right back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
We could save the last sea turtles, but they don't vote, so I don't care. Compassionate conservative, don't know what it means. It's something we could depress relief. Texas leads the world in the death penalty.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that'll help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
We'll be right back.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
26 before the hour, we are talking with Greg Pallas, journalist, muckraker. I love that term. Muckraker, journalist, writer, author. His new book is out, Armed Madhouse. You must get this. And I said I haven't finished it, Greg. I'm going on vacation next week. We're leaving Sunday. I'm going to be gone for about 10 days. And
you're going on vacation, but I know it's
Right.
We're undercover.
We're going to go meet with that secret cabal of liberals who are destroying the world. The book will be finished when I come back. And
I'll be testing you.
I think it's a must read.
Actually, there is a test in there. I have that section of the book called No Child's Behind Left.
I saw that. I was a little afraid to read that on the
educational testing complex. The industrial testing complex that we've developed.
Well, I had the book with me on a flight to Seattle, but I was afraid my seatmate might look at that chapter and go, oh, what's this guy reading? What is this pornography? Stewardess, flight attendant, quick, there's a man here reading child pornography. So I just kind of hid the book. All right, what we've decided to do here is let you talk with Greg Pallast. I can talk with him anytime.
You may have to.
I guess. Let's go right to the phone calls. Tim is calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Tim, welcome to the program. Say hi to Greg.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Greg.
Hey.
Hey, bro.
I'm about halfway through our Madhouse.
Cool.
I know you said in the intro you don't have to read it sequentially, but I just started and then it was just a page turner. I couldn't put it down. And I'm actually sort of like to the point of not really being shocked anymore, but it's still pretty appalling what's in there.
You didn't get any laughs at all?
Oh yeah, there's some very funny things in there. I laughed like crazy some of the time, but it's it's a pretty dark humor.
Yeah.
One of the things I was interested in is you have all these documents that you got one way or another, and
usually
you mentioned them in the book. And I just wondered if you'd given any thought to archiving though, like digitizing them, putting them up, archiving them on the web somewhere.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff. One thing you'll see in the Tim, because you're looking at it, but there's about 60 illustrations in there. Besides the recipe for fish curry, there's several of the documents. But obviously, only a page or so sometimes of the documents so that you can see what it is. Some of those documents we've already started putting up at gregpallas.com, GREGPALAST.com. We're going to put up a bit more. A few, like the second direct document, is gigantic. We'll put up some more of it. But the first one, if I put up too much, they'll be able to figure out who gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
The others we blasted out after I wore the wire and got the inside info on this document, the big document. I was able to get some lawyers for BBC to say, if you don't turn over, we'll sue your knickers off. And so they finally gave up. So some of these things we are going to put up in fuller form, and we're starting to now.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a librarian, and a lot of us are out there working on archiving government publications.
Cool.
Particularly ones that we think are going to disappear or in danger of being taken down. We try to grab them off websites as soon as we know about them, and some of them we miss, some of them we get. But so I've been to the website, so I'll keep checking back.
All right, Tim.
Yeah.
Tim, thanks a lot for checking in, man.
One of the things I put out last time was big hunks of the of the voter purge list. Now I have the new thing that they call caging list. We're going to put out more of that so that people can analyze these things. And for those who like to play with the fact that we're, purging out all these black people, we're still doing that game, except on a wider scale.
Let me just say right here, I don't know if I've ever told you this. I am so deeply appreciative of what you do. And I think so many people on this planet either are or should be. But just from me to you, here in front of God and everybody, you're unique, and what you do, Greg, is just absolutely necessary, and it's astonishing to me what you're able to accomplish. I have greatest respect for you.
Well, thank you, but that's why I'm in exile with this information. Wouldn't it be nice if an American can report about America in America?
You must be kidding.
Well, thanks God for Air America, because otherwise, otherwise it bounces right off the electronic Berlin Wall. People have to understand, these reports I'm doing, like my report, Carrie Wan, all this stuff. It's, you know, top of the BBC Nightly News. You wouldn't have to buy the book. You just kick back, you know, pop a brewski and enjoy it.
Sure.
But, you know, here.
Not here. No.
In fact, one of the things, one of the weirder things is that when after I wrote, like, Carrie Wan, I did get a call from the New York Times. Not like I'm ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Times called me and said, well, we're investigating 2004 election and your claim that John Kerry won on BBC television.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, I said, yeah, great, we got, you know, file cabinets of information. I said, well, we just have some questions. Question one, are you a sore loser? And question two was, I'm not kidding, I have this in writing, by the way. Question two is, are you a conspiracy nut?
Jesus.
And there was no question three. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, my God.
And so that was the Times. And, you know, and that was the Times investigation. Over. By the way, the next day they ran a headline. And this, you know, after they talked to me at BBC and the Guardian papers, right,
mm-hmm.
where I had George Orwell's old column, by the way. And they wrote a headline, Internet Theories of Bush Loss Spread by Blogs Easily Debunked.
Ooh,
so, you
I
know,
see,
so,
I see.
So the information does get through.
I see things with tentacles when you say that. Our at-large bureau chief of the Malloy program is calling in. Hey, Jerky, say hi to, and that's a term of endearment, Greg. It's
okay.
As
in just, beef.
That's his cover name. I'm not sure how deeply undercover this guy is, but Jerky is here. Hi, Jerky, say hi to Greg Powell.
Hi, guys. Great show, as usual, Mike. And, Greg, I'm a big fan of your work, and I'd like to echo Mike's sentiments from earlier. If there were a couple dozen more people like you...
We'd have a bigger wing at Guantanamo.
Yeah. Things would be a lot different, I think, in the United States, but I think we know why there isn't a couple dozen more like you, because there's no money in it compared to... being a cheerleader for the current regime, which is
really
pretty lucrative.
I want Anderson Cooper's leather jacket, though.
Yeah,
so that could look like a real reporter.
Greg could never be Katie Couric. I'm sorry, that's just not going to happen.
How do you know I'm not?
Well,
it's my another one of my covers blown now.
But
go ahead.
Jerky, the
go
real
ahead, Jerky.
Reason.
Well, I could ask any number of questions on any number of topics that Greg has written about over the last few years. So I'm going to restrict myself to the coming election in 2006. And you guys probably know about in the Star Trek universe, there's this training exercise at Starfleet Academy called the Kobayashi Maru.
No.
Well,
no.
Without getting too deep into it, the primary purpose of this test is to determine how would-be officers face defeat, right? It's a no-win situation.
I see.
And
right.
Captain Kirk became famous in Starfleet for being the only guy ever to defeat the Kobayashi Maru no-win situation test. And how he did this was he went in and he rigged the machine. So he would win because he felt that it was justifiable to do so because presenting him with a no-win situation would have been more, you know.
So that is Karl Rove's.
Exactly.
That's why Karl lives long and prospers.
God.
Whoa, now we know. Yeah, well, actually, no. Well, Jerky, here's your problem. And by the way, how's your mom, Flippy? sorry, I shouldn't laugh at my own jokes. It's at that time of it. But the what's happening is, and all kidding aside, is that in the last election, 3,600,380 ballots were cast and never counted. And this is not the Uganda, it's the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan, let me tell you right now, and the reason another subtitle of the book is the scheme to steal 08, mm-hmm. is that they're building up to a 5 million vote non-count. I mean, people don't realize this. In America, by the way, I didn't get this from my black helicopter about the 3.5 million ballots cast not counted in the last election. I got this from the United States Election Information Agency, which keeps records of this stuff if you go into the data. And by the way, for the guy from the New York Times, you should follow the investigative rule of that journalist Yogi Berra. It's amazing what you'll see when you look.
Yeah.
And so they got 3.5 million votes uncounted. And I worked with statisticians. I used to be one, actually. And 88% of those votes are out of minority districts. So we don't know who won the election because we don't know who they voted for. But 88% from minority districts, you tell me. And so it's cranking up to 5 because with the new voter ID business, basically sabotaging of the machine
vote.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that, by the way, is not by switching your vote, not by Rove and Lex Luthor in a cave underneath the Pentagon, switching your vote from Democrat to Republican, but just
by disqualifying.
Disqualification, and the machines break down, and they don't record the votes.
Yep.
That's the biggest, the non-recording, it's a disappearance. But the other is the disqualification. We had 700,000, for example, absentee ballots rejected, and we had, and this year, for the first time, we had something called provisional ballots, and 1,090,000 of those were put in the dumpster, almost all minority votes. Golly, who'd they vote for?
Well, the other thing,
Mr.
too, all of these glitches, all of these weird happenings always seem to occur to the Democratic candidate, regardless of what the race is. Hold on a second, guys.
Yeah.
We've got to take a quick break here. We're talking with Greg Palast, author of Armed Madhouse. We'll be back in a second. This is Mike, Air America, Mike Malloy.
Why did I have to make my ballot a butterfly? I mean, I eat dinner by 4 and yogurt by 10, and there ain't no way that I voted for Buchanan. In case they get tangled in a revote web, no need to sweat, W. You can count on Brother Jeff. Uh-oh, and we better get Mako to fix this. Now leave it up to Thomas Scalia and Rehnquist. Got a blank ballot, absentee, you're overseas. Seminole will fill it as long as you're down with the GOP. And the
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneur, smart word. So smart, it's almost a different language. Look it up. Here at Budget Rent-A-Car, we admire entrepreneurs, and not just for their bilingual skills, but also for their courage, and for the big thinking they show by opening a small business and joining the Budget Business Program. Yes, the Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. That's $2 back every day. No wonder Budget won the 2006 Entrepreneur Magazine Business Travel Award as the best car rental value for small businesses. Such an entrepreneur thing to do. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business to sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
I think American people, now that they've realized I'm going to seek re-election, expect me to seek re-election.
No. Another saying from Chairman George, the dear leader. What happened to jerky? Well, I guess maybe he thought the phone call was over. Our guest is Greg Palast, author of Our Madhouse, among other excellent books, and author of many, many pieces that have tried to expose the corruption in the highest levels here in the United States, and he had to go to England to do it. Email from our webmaster just says, tell Palast that Mark from the Expert Witness radio show with Mike Levine says hi and keep kicking ass.
Okay.
Is that code?
I probably.
Is that some kind of code between
on their planet? I suppose so. Yeah, no, another great investigative reporter, actually.
Let's go back to the phones here. If you have a comment or a question for Greg, how long can you stick around tonight, Greg?
Well, I'm cool.
All right. Well, let's. We have a break coming up at the top of the hour. Let's stick around for at least a segment after that.
Let's do it.
Okay. Mike is calling from New Jersey. Mike, welcome to the program. Hey, Mike. All right, that's not going to work.
You're using your vocoder there, eh?
All right, put him on hold, please, and we'll try again after he realizes that we have a delay. Terry is calling from California. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. Great show as usual, and it's an honor to speak with Greg as well.
Thanks,
you know, I've been reading a lot of stuff about this, the economic situation, and you know, Robert Rubin recently mentioned some things in Berlin about, you know, because of the debt that just can't be paid worldwide and the derivatives and all this stuff. I mean, they're looking at a major, major hit here worldwide. And, you know, with all the fascist stuff that these guys are doing, I mean, I think they really think that they're going to lock down all these resources and they're just going to create a fascist empire. I mean, have you been hearing any of this stuff about the economic situation?
Well, you know, there is kind of an economic collapse going on, but it depends for whom. I mean, you do have to understand that in the past week, Delphi workers, that is the auto parts division of what used to be General Motors, we had 80,000 workers who had to choose between their, you know, health care after retirement or pensions or taking a two-thirds cut in wages, okay? And, you know, our president's talking about the wonderful economy, all right? Now, in other words, and we're told that the problem is not the handling of our economy, the massive debt, $2 trillion, by the way, in the addition to the national debt by this regime, $2 trillion, which is sinking General Motors. They've held their last annual meeting. They've had a five-fold increase in their interest rates. I know this is getting pretty heavy duty for Greg Palast, but I'm actually an economist in another life. And let me tell you, for the Delphi workers, we're being told by this regime that the problem is these greedy unions, because the workers, when they retire, are now asking for health care benefits instead of immediately saying, where's my coffin?
You're right.
Right?
Really?
And so there is an economic collapse, but it's not for everyone. It's for Detroit auto workers. We have every single American airline in bankruptcy, every mainline carrier in bankruptcy. But golly gee, think about it. That's caused by the high interest rates, and it's caused by the high oil and energy prices. It's the what are the two main industries that remain democratic, unionized strongholds? Airline and auto industry, and they're dying.
Mm-hmm.
And, in other words, mission accomplished, George. So yeah.
Incredible, exactly. Incredible stuff. Terry, thanks. Let me move on. Chad is calling from Kensington, Ohio. Chad, welcome to the program. Say hi to Greg Palast.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Greg. How you doing?
Okay.
Doing fine.
It's a pleasure to speak to you. Before I get to Chavez, I want to let you know that Blackwell's facing a lawsuit from the League of Women Voters here in Ohio sometime this month. I'm not sure of the date. So
yeah, in fact,
keep an eye on that.
Air American Bobby Kennedy will be their lawyer.
Oh, really?
Yep. And
yeah,
that's right. And
cool.
I was just in Ohio. And Blackwell, for those who don't know, he's the, of course, the Secretary of State of Ohio and the chairman of the Bush reelection campaign. He wears two hats, which is a fashion faux pas unless you have two heads, and I'm investigating that.
Well,
yeah.
I think he does. He also wants to be governor of Ohio
now. The good thing for the lucky for him is that as Secretary of State, he'll be counting the votes for governor of Ohio.
Yeah.
He has a very interesting way of doing
sense
that.
Yeah, in some alternate universe, doesn't it? But about Chavez,
yes.
I saw your interview, I think it was Democracy for Sale, with Chavez the other day. And at the end of the interview, mm-hmm. he was fondling or holding Bolivar's sword.
Yes, he was.
And you asked him about wanting to just like duke it out mano a mano.
Have it out with George, right?
Yeah, and he seemed almost serene like the Buddha when he looked up and he said, "Bush's time is short, and he'll become cosmic dust, and he's an accident of history." It's like he knew that Bush is going to go away, and I just wondered, I'd love to hear your reaction to him saying that.
He had the view. He had a very simple view, which is that, by the way, he said that to use Bolivar's sword on Bush would be to disgrace the weapon.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, and by the way, this goes back to what was just said about world economic collapse and the rest. You know, one of my subtitles is this is dispatches from the front lines of the class war. That's what's going on. And Chavez is actually just kind of our Bolivar in the class war at the moment. And look, he's got the oil. And what he's saying, now I'm going to go back into this economic mode. All right.
Okay.
Remember the film The Network when when the journalist, the television truth-telling journalist says we're paying too much for oil and gas and we're mad as hell, we're not going to take it anymore.
Right.
Right? And then he's brought in by this corporate executive who says, "Mr. Beal, the Arabs have taken billions of dollars from us and now we must get it back."
Right.
Okay? And that's what we're doing. See, we're getting billions. We sent out $250 billion to King Abdullah, and he's given us back $333 billion, but that means he charges high interest rates. He lends us the billions, we lend him the 82nd Airborne. And that's the problem here, and Chavez is trying to end that kind of game with the Saudis and say, how about people to people, low oil prices, no games, no high interest rates, no high prices. What do you say? Bush says, "We're going after you, baby."
Yeah, hey, listen, Chad, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Greg, if you don't mind sticking around the studio.
I'll hold a second.
All right, we'll take a quick break and come back and have some more conversation with the author of Armed Madhouse, Greg Palast. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
If you're $10,000 in credit card debt or more and are making minimum monthly payments but getting nowhere, Debt Relief USA has the answer. Call 1-800-509-4205 now. Debt Relief USA has ways through special programs to reduce your principal and interest. You may qualify to reduce your credit card debt as much as 75%. Just call 1-800-509-4205 for a risk-free debt analysis. Stop losing sleep over annoying, harassing phone calls. Don't even consider bankruptcy until you know your options. We cannot help unless you call 1-800-509-4205 today. Our debt relief specialists understand and know the answer to getting you out of credit card debt fast. Just one call will put your life back on track. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call for a free debt evaluation at 1-800-509-4205 for the relief you need. Debt Relief USA is helping Americans resecure their financial future one client at a time, excluding Maryland and New York.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Seven Marines and a Navy corpsman could face the death penalty if they're found guilty of killing a disabled Iraqi civilian last April. Speaking at Camp Pendleton in California, a Marine spokesman said the eight have been charged with murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy in connection to the civilian's death. The controversial issue of when to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq spurred bitter debate in the Senate Wednesday, seeking to highlight divisions among Democrats. Senate Republican leaders have agreed to put a proposal by Senator John Kerry on the Senate floor. The Massachusetts Democrat wants U.S. troops out of Iraq in a year. The parents of a California National Guardsman who was killed in Iraq are meeting with military officials. Don Andrews reports the family of Patrick McCaffrey are learning the real story behind his death.
The McCaffrey family was told Patrick was killed in an ambush 2 years ago, but now it's been revealed he was killed by Iraqi troops he was working with. Family friend Dave Dionisi has his doubts about whether the McCaffrey family will get the whole story from the military.
I think everything's being managed so that people will continue to support the war. I highly doubt that Nadia is getting the full story.
Dionisi and Patrick's mom, Nadia, are members of the same anti-war group called Freedom from War. Don Andrews, Tracy, California.
Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal is not impressed with safety changes on the popular website MySpace.com. MySpace has announced users over 18 have to know the email or name of any 14 or 15-year-old member they want to contact. Blumenthal says MySpace has not gone nearly far enough.
These steps are plainly inadequate because they lack any age verification, and they leave the minimum age too low.
Blumenthal wants that age limit for users raised to 16. He says he'll work with 21 other state attorney generals to make MySpace less attractive to sexual predators. A new report says some chief executive officers in U.S. companies earn more money in one day than the average worker makes in a year. The Economic Policy Institute found that CEOs earned 262 times the pay of an average worker last year. An average worker tallies about $42,000 a year, while the average CEO brings home nearly $11 million. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. We are talking to author, muckraker, investigative reporter, and all-around good guy, Greg Palast, who is the author of the book Armed Madhouse, his latest attempt to bring down the Bush crime family and reestablish truth, justice, the American way. I guess that's what you're doing, right? Greg's going to be here in Atlanta on Friday. We're going to come by and see you. I think we can do it before the show here. So it's a fundraiser for WRFG Radio, which is a listener-supported radio station here. And anybody who's listening via XM or on the Internet here in the Atlanta area, since this show has been dropped by the Atlanta affiliate, please come by. Say hi to Greg.
And to Mike.
I'll kind of sneak in the back door and just watch. The last time you were here over at Emory, that was an amazing crowd. Jesus, you had to have a shoehorn to get in there.
Yeah.
it was great. All right.
You had to shoes, too, to get in there. You did. That was one of those weird Atlanta rules.
It was. Greg's
but, yeah, no, you can go to the www.gregpalast.com to find the Armed Madhouse Class War Boot Camp tour.
I see it here. This is going to be at the First Unitarian Universalist Church on Cliff Valley Way here at 7 p.m. And your donations or tickets or whatever at the door. So come by and check out what Greg has to say. Let's go back to some phone calls here.
Sure.
Vicki is calling from San Diego. Vicki, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vic.
Hi, Greg. I just met your mom.
Hey, Mom.
Your mom and dad are at a KLSD function downtown.
Yeah, I know.
And, of course, she got up and discussed your book.
Yeah.
And everybody knew you and gave her, you know, big applause.
Are your parents touring too, Greg?
Yeah, well, actually, I have to say, Air America San Diego was one of the sponsors of the Armed Madhouse. They're always out there. My father's out there in his walker threatening regime change on
shopper.
Bush, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're there. I wanted to tell you that I'm meeting more and more people that are equating what's happening, the fascism in our country, with Nazi Germany, and more people are telling me they're seriously thinking about leaving the United States,
getting out
before it's too late.
Well,
are you hearing that from people that you meet?
Well, I mean, remember, I left. I had to go, literally, to go report. I have to do this from exile. That is no joke. I have to do this from BBC, and my kids are getting these weird upstairs-downstairs accents. I mean, you really do have to. Look what happened to Dan Rather today. I mean, he was finally flushed out. You know, the Klingons got him over at CBS, it was horrible. And so I know that personally exiled into reporting. But no, I mean, we don't want to leave. It's our. You know what, guys? I was just at the Taos Pueblo. Mm-hmm. Where they were saying that, according to George Bush's machines, only 1 in 10 natives voted for president. And literally, they drove to the polls, walked in, looked at the machines, said, forget it, walked out without voting. That's what the machine said, right? And that's mm-hmm. how supposedly Bush won New Mexico by 6,000 votes, because there were virtually no votes out of the native precincts. Ooh, right?
Isn't that amazing how that happens?
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, and so what happens, these guys, though, every morning, they're veterans, and all natives, as you know, go into the service, and the veterans raise the flag every day and salute it.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're saying, they take away our land and our resources and our vote and our kids to war, but they're not going to take away our flag and our country. No. You push them out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trick. Get rid of them. I mean, I finally, by the way, brought my family back from exile. My reports, I still have to fly to London to report the news after I do the investigations here. I fly to London and report on camera there. But, that's just deeply evil. I don't like it. I'm coming home whether they like it or not, one way or the other. That's why I've got the book. I mean, part of the book is a way for me to bring the reports home and bring myself home of our madhouse. I mean, when I saw what happened to Dan Rather went across, by the way, to my program in Britain that I report on, Newsnight, and he said, if I were to report, ask real questions, tough questions. This was like 4 years ago, 3 years ago he said this. He says, if I were to ask tough questions of the president, I would be lynched as unpatriotic. I would not only lose my job, I would be lynched. And he called it. He asked a couple questions, about the great war hero. And in fact, actually, it's one of the stories in the book called The Necklacing of Dan Rather. When, Rather... All he said was, he didn't say anything dramatic. He just said that our president was a yellow-bellied coward whose daddy put in the fix illegally to get him out of the war in Vietnam.
All of which was true.
And what he had done was, just so you know, he'd actually repeated a story I put on BBC the year before.
Right.
But what we had, which he didn't call on, and today it finally struck me why he didn't. We have a document from inside at BBC, and we put it in the book. You can actually see it at page 20, whatever it is. I can't read it. And we'll have it up on our website. The actual document from the U.S. Justice Department that details exactly how Daddy Bush made the call to A to B to C to the generals to get his son into the Air Guard, while at the same time, you have to understand, at the same time, he's voting to send other men's sons to Vietnam. I don't mind that he got his kid out. What I mind is that he voted, and W's grandfather, Senator Bush, voted to send other kids, sons and grandsons, to Vietnam, while George got the job of defending Houston from Viet Cong attack. We have the documentation in here, right? Rather's taken the incoming, and he's walking the plank, yet we have the documents that could save his behind. Mm-hmm. But then I looked at the documents. See, it's not just about the fix. It's about the payoff. That begins to unravel the entire game. See, they had to pay a lot of people. There was big-time payback to keep this thing under wraps and quiet and silent.
What about the woman who sat on the Selective Service Board, I believe?
The lottery board.
right. Say her name. Say it.
Harriet, the key woman in this whole fix, by the way, the cover-up. Was a woman named Harriet Myers.
Oh, my.
Now, how did Harriet... Because people kept saying, who is this woman, Harriet Myers, is suddenly going to be Supreme Court Justice Harriet Myers? They say, huh? Harriet what? Supreme Court what? Harriet Myers? And because they didn't know what we had, the documents we had, she was the key to the payoffs to keep everyone quiet and silent about George Bush's chicken hawk career.
It's astonishing.
She handled the fix. She handled the payout. And we got the documents. Okay, Harriet, you got a disagreement with me? You got my phone number.
When I read that in our madhouse, I just about lost breakfast. I swear to God. Harriet, what?
Yeah. Because everyone was wondering where this woman comes into the Supreme Court. The answer is that she had Bush's cojones in her pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you want, Harriet? Supreme Court. You want the Supreme Court, huh?
You got it.
Yeah, okay.
Except for those pesky Republicans who decided she was not a neo-Nazi enough. Vicky, thanks for checking in. Let me move on.
Do the goose step right.
Appreciate your call. James is calling from Kenosha, Wisconsin. James, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Greg.
Thank you, brother,
for taking the call. I finished the book last night, and I have a question. Actually, two-pronged, I guess, because a couple nights ago I relayed the story of sailors in a tube to some friends, and after they stopped laughing, they absolutely refused to believe me.
Yeah, I know.
Before
I don't believe it myself sometimes.
Well, before I get caught like New Zealand at the expense of your sense of humor, the example of the test question regarding doubles in tennis.
Yes.
Is that factual?
Yeah, I know. One thing you're going to have to get used to, and I get this all the time, because I do joke around a lot in an otherwise pretty grim and serious book. I mean, but there's a lot of jokes. A lot of people think that some of the illustrations and facts are just jokes, okay? At a great expense, I had the publisher reprint that section of the book. The section of the book is that our government is paying $2.5 billion apiece for something called a Virginia class submarine, which hunts Soviet subs. And since there aren't any more Soviet subs, what they've done is they've reconfigured the torpedo tubes, and the torpedoes are basically hollowed out. They call it reconfiguring. You hollow out these giant torpedoes, and you put 9 Marines inside them so that you can shoot them onto the beach. This is our war on terror weapon.
Oh,
so $2.5 billion each. Now there is an illustration in there.
Yes.
of little soldiers inside a torpedo, right? Now there, I'm telling you, everyone who saw this thought this was a Greg Palast joke illustration, and I made the publisher reprint that section so that it says source U.S. Department of Defense. We took a year to get this illustration. It is really from the U.S. Department of Defense, where they're really paying $2.5 billion a pop for a machine that sticks 9 Marines in a torpedo and shoots them onto the beach.
Amazing that recruitment numbers are down.
It's true.
Huh?
yeah. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
Yeah.
James, very quickly, the second part of your question?
Yeah, well, that was about the No Child Behind left. This is this testing business. And again, people thought this was a joke, but it's not. This whole mania with testing, what are they really testing for? And there's one test in there, which I actually have in the book and I've reproduced, which is the test that was given out as the practice, the actual practice test for New York City kids. You can't move to the fourth grade from the third grade unless you can, unless you pass this reading comprehension test, which requires you to know what a country club is and what doubles tennis is.
Oh,
okay?
My God.
That's right. That's, so people thought that I did this as a joke in the book. It's not a joke. It's an actual reproduction of the No Child Behind Left test that, that George Bush was imposing on our school kids. And so what they're testing for, the, what the point I'm trying to make is that they're not testing for whether kids can read or not, obviously. They're testing for their class skills. In other words, are you the right type of person to get into the country club to go to Yale? Okay, and George Bush, after all, I mean, in all fairness, he did take a test to get into Yale. The test was, is your grandfather on the Board of Trustees? He answered yes. He got 100% score. He was let in.
It works every time.
No, these are not jokes. I mean, they're jokes, but they're real.
Amazing work by both of you guys, actually.
Thank you.
And I really enjoyed the book. Thanks.
Thanks, James. How about just one last four-minute segment when we come back, and then I'll let you go. Is that all right?
All right, you got it.
Come on, you don't have to sleep. There's no such thing as sleep. What the hell? It's a little after midnight. Relax. Take a deep breath. Thank you, Greg.
All right,
we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and finish this up. We're talking with Greg Palast, author of Armed Madhouse. Stay with us. I'm Mike Polloy. Tell me it's black when I know that it's white. Always the same, it's just a shame, and that's all. I could live, but I won't go. Though my heart might tell me so. I can't feel a thing from my head down to my toes. But why does it always seem to be me looking at you and you looking at me? It's always the same, it's just a shame.
Listening to the Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
My one favorite spread has been Smart Balance Buttery Spread. I'm Bob Harris, and I've got another favorite spread that I think you'll love. It's new Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. It contains no hydrogenated oil, no trans fatty acid, no refined sugar, all natural ingredients, and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. New Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter with 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. We deep roast premium quality peanuts to make it taste great.
Syriana on DVD now, starring 2005 Academy Award winner George Clooney, Matt Damon, and Jeffrey Wright, and directed by Stephen Gagan, the Academy Award winning writer of Traffic. Syriana, an uncommonly intelligent story, an explosive tour of global petropolitics, says USA Today. Newsday proclaims that Syriana raises the bar for every thriller that will come in its wake. And Time Magazine declares that Syriana is light years from the standard Hollywood movie. Syriana, own it on DVD now. Rated R for violence and language.
she is plenty bright. She just didn't kind of opine about things. She actually led. People are quick to opine.
He's talking about our gal, Harriet Myers, I guess. Greg Pallas is our guest. We're just about out of time. He's the author of Armed Madhouse. You've got to buy this book. You absolutely have to. A question here that came via email, Greg. This is from Jim in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yep.
He writes, I've always wanted to ask Greg why, in a predominantly Democrat-controlled state like New Mexico, the vote would be stolen for Republicans.
Ah, well, you know, I know they have a governor there, William Richardson, who is a Hispanic Democrat. That's the rumor. But, you know.
Yeah, I've seen his picture. Didn't he used to work with Bill Clinton?
Yeah, or, I mean, yeah. He's kind of a chubby checker of Democratic politics. You know,
right.
Twists one way and then twists the other. You know, all politics is local. In fact, I actually have a whole section about New Mexico in our Madhouse, and for a good reason, for just that reason. Because where are the Democrats? And one of the questions is how, in a state like New Mexico, controlled by the Democrats, was Bush able to shoplift it? And he did, by the way. I mean, it wasn't even close. There were 6,000, I mean, he supposedly won by 6,000 votes, and there were 27,000 votes not counted, literally ballots not counted. And they were all out of the reservations and the barrio, except for... And except, by the way, in the white Republican areas on the mesas there, those Georgia O'Keeffe real estate settings, there were more votes for Bush than voters, which means he was very popular under the he's unpopular among the undead. That's all.
So why?
And the answer is that there are these huge political infights in all these states. And what happens is that Democrats hold firing squads in circles. They are always. It's this internal politicking, and there are unfortunately too many Democrats, like Chubby Bill, out there, who are elected by this apartheid voting system. And if they didn't have it, that they would be in trouble in the Democratic primaries. I mean, one of the scamps who was really was big on flushing out black voters was Zell Miller, the so-called Democratic senator from Georgia.
Oh, God, I'm breaking out in hives.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Miller was, I found out the Democratic National Committee stood in the way of a lot of the things that ultimately Howard Dean's now trying to do to see if maybe black people can vote.
Well, you know how Zell Miller got his start here in Georgia. He was a legislative aide for Lester Maddox.
Hey, Mr. Axe Handle.
Right,
yeah, that's right. For those who don't know, I mean, we had there was a governor, Democrat, of Georgia who made his reputation by beating up civil rights workers with an axe handle. So there's all kinds of Democrats. That's one of the issues. There's all kinds of Democrats, and it's a class war. See, it's not Democrat versus Republican. Bill Richardson, for example, signed off on this cockamamie bill to require voter IDs. Well, you know, he was a partner of Henry Kissinger, Kissinger Associates,
sure.
Before he became, after he left Bill Clinton's employ and before he became governor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's not less of a Hispanic American than he is a Kissinger American. And so he doesn't worry about ID. You know, he can show his golf club membership. His chauffeur can vouch for him.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, so the average concerns of the average person is not exactly on his map, you know.
Hey, Greg, I promise I'll let you go. I'm going to let you go. Listen, best of luck on the tour. I'm going to come by. Kathy and I are going to come by and see you Friday here at here in Atlanta for the fundraiser.
Whether they like it or not, it's already on the Times bestseller list.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. It's weird.
The book is Our Madhouse. The author is someone you all know, Greg Pallas. Get the book. Greg, we'll talk again. Take care, okay?
You're a treasure, Mike.
Well, my wife tells me that.
Yeah, she told me.
Yeah, talk to you later. Break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first 4 issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for the Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
We'll be right back.
he mention yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Six before the hour. And I'd just like to thank Greg Palast for being on the program. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, he's got a book out. What do you expect? No. We have been talking with Greg on this program since when, Kathy? Jesus, all the way back to IE America days, right? A long time ago, 5 or 6 years ago. I think probably before his first book came out. And it's just been a long, long time. As a matter of fact, is this not true? Were we not the first American talk show that had Greg on? I'm commercial. I'm not talking about Democracy Now or some of the non-commercial radio stations. But I don't know why I'm asking. It just seems to me that came up in a conversation one time. Not that it matters worth a damn. But
you go way, way back. But as long, you know, you've been in radio since Marconi, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've been in this marriage since Marconi, too, right? But I like, what? I like this man. I like what Greg Palast does. I like the way he writes. I like his courage. And his humor. I'm just amazed over and over again how someone who has done what he has done remains fearless, brave. He's a real warrior, and I mean it in the sense of Don Juan, Carlos Castaneda's teacher, Don Juan and Don Gennaro. I see Palast as truly as a warrior, and deep respect for him.
I just see him as somebody who apparently never sleeps. If you go to GregPalast.com and look at his tour dates, he's in a different city every day, and the man sounds like he's just a bundle of energy.
And isn't it amazing he's not on a no-fly list?
don't say that out loud.
That's astonishing to me that somebody who is as serious and sourced and capable a critic, and critic's not the right word, of the Bush crime family, is still able to fly about the country. He's more than a critic. He's a truth teller. And when you compare Greg Palast's work to the work of American journalists, it's shameful, the record that American journalists have. Now, he is an American journalist, but I'm referring to the fact that he has to, like you said, he has to go to London. He has to go to the BBC to get his reporting out. And that's the way it's been. He discovered early on that American media was not in the business of reporting the news. It was not in the business of being the fourth estate. What's the term? Of afflicting the rich? What is it? Afflicting the comfortable and comforting the afflicted. That's not what American media is about. American media is about entertainment and profit, or profit and entertainment, or profit and profit. It's in there somewhere. And Palast is one of those throwbacks, I hate to say, to the time when journalists in this country represented a search for the truth and an exposure of that truth, no matter what happened as a result. I think Woodward and Bernstein at one time represented that in U.S. Reportage, but nobody represents it anymore.
I'm sorry, Mike. I couldn't hear what you were saying. I was interviewing people who lost 11 stomachs and thinking about that poor Catherine McPhee on American Idol who just kept throwing up perfectly good food. That makes no sense. We're in a mad world.
Thank you, Rita. Thank you. Let's go back to your phone calls. Oh, my God. Larry is calling from Arizona. And, Larry, I'm coming to you because your question, the comment here, 1850 and the opium wars?
Yeah, because you were talking with Greg about, you mentioned something about our long history of interfering with other countries, taking them over, and and just taking their resources after we take them over. And in China, we were involved with the opium trade along with England and a lot of the other Western countries. And when the aristocracy in China stood up and said, no, you're not going to do this to our population because we were making their entire population heroin addicts, in 1850, we ran warships up the river and fired on their palaces, and they gave up and they signed treaties.
Well, that's true, but we didn't demolish the sovereignty of China. I'm talking about when I made reference to American imperialism had its launch date at the time of the Spanish-American War. I mean in terms of actually seizing and holding territory into the American Commonwealth, Cuba, Puerto Rico, the Philippines, islands in the Pacific. This was a direct result of the Spanish-American War. You're right, we got involved peripherally into the Opium Wars, but that was more of a British thing, and that was about trade and money. It wasn't about seizing and holding territory.
I agree with you too, because you know there's different ways of looking at different degrees, but we did at that time we precipitated the eventual fall of the aristocracy, and then the Boxer Rebellion and the communist so-called menace that they ended up trying to get us to fight against.
Well, that's that's very true, and it's also very sad. Anyway, Larry, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for checking.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I appreciate your call. Ray is calling from Minnesota. Ray, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Michael, brother man, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm so, so happy that you had Greg on. I wish.
Me too. Me too. He's. I could sit and talk or listen to this guy for hours.
Well, his books, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy and Armed Madhouse, are required reading in the university context of our Kalpuli Turtle Island Multiversity.
I'll be darned. Well, that's great.
We're going to make it required reading. But the question I would have asked him, and I'll pose this with you, Michael, and then I'll do my website rant. But the what I would ask both of you is this: do you think there is any muscle tone left? I sense there's a kind of wasting disease in the American body politic.
Uh-huh.
Do you think there's any muscle tone left that the people can finally get rid of this half-fried degenerate in the White House?
I have the same question, Ray. I don't know. There are pockets of resistance. There are people who want to put into effect what they know is the right thing to do. But as far as muscle tone to the extent necessary to remove these bastards from office, I'm beginning to wonder myself. I hope so. But you know what? We're going to get a clear indication of that in about, 5 months?
Well, you know what? If I had my druthers, Michael, the next several elections in this country would be internationally supervised.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Maybe we'll have Hugo Chavez come as one of the monitors.
And Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter. Internationally supervised. No DeVault, no Choice Point, no Catherine 5.5 pounds of makeup Harris, no Kim House, you know what, Blackwell. No, we've got to get. I want to get tough with these guys. So once again, let me leave you with this. I need to hear from the world. They need to visit that website. They need to read the letters, because Kalpuli Turtle Island Multiversity is going to be a very different organizational and social model. We're not going to be nonprofit. There are too many restrictions. And we're going to freelance, and we're going to pee off a whole heck of a lot of so-called neocons. Let's call them what they really are, fascists.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to fight these guys, Michael.
Well,
take them on.
And I certainly respect that. Go to Ray's website, kalpuli.com,
K-A-L-P-U-L-L-I.net.
I'm sorry, K-A-L-P-U-L-L-I.net, K-A-L-P-U-L-L-I.net.
And read every letter on it and respond accordingly.
And respond.
And we will take care of business.
All right. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you, Michael. Keep it up, guy.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. Mark is calling from Longview, Washington. Mark, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to share some of my thoughts of what the Dems should do in 08.
Okay.
I think we should, one thing we should adopt from the parliamentary system is over there, if your president's polls get low enough or he's that bad, you can vote him out.
Never happened, Mark. I would love to see a parliamentary system like Canada's. I mean, we don't have to go to Europe. It's right here. It's right, right our neighbors to the north. But it's not going to happen here. There are too many interests, corporate interests, who have learned very quickly how to control the system that we have here, and staggered voting or proportional voting or the parliamentary system is just not going to happen, pal. You want to hold on a second?
Okay.
All right, because I want to hear what else you got to say. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right. Your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to our engineers, Justin Yuen, and resident rock star Jason Isaac, who handled the program from New York City. D. Neal is our associate producer there, who handled your calls tonight. Also, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, who runs MaximumInteractive.com. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, who archives this program. He's in the middle of a fundraising drive. Please go to WhiteRoseSociety.org and make a contribution, okay? Jim in Arkansas, our Music Bureau Chief, and Catherine Bay is our Executive Producer. Another reminder, Youth Night this Friday, the 23rd, day after tomorrow. If you're between the ages of 13 and 17, we want to hear from you. Open phones, open topics. We want you to call in and vent. All right, we were talking with Mark in Longview, Washington, what the Democrats need to do to win. Go ahead and put a cap on it for me, Mark.
Okay, yeah. Well, they definitely need to be strong on the immigration issue. And I think the way...
Now, wait a second. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that we don't even... These people, these illegal immigrants, aren't even doing jobs that Americans won't do, is what I think. I think that... you could get people, as many people off welfare, disabled people,
goodbye.
Even some of the prison population, homeless people, and thus saving the taxpayer billions and trillions of dollars.
I'm not quite following you there. You know, I've said on this program before, if we want to end so-called illegal immigration, two things to do. First of all, increase the minimum wage in this country to about $10, $11, $12 an hour.
Yeah.
And then all those jobs that allegedly Americans don't want would be glommed up by Americans. And secondly, fine the hell out of the corporations or the companies or the mom-and-pop operations that hire people either knowingly or unknowingly, who are so-called illegal immigrants. Now, as far as the whole issue of illegal immigration is concerned, I believe that there should be a process in place. As long as we are going to have these artificial constructs called nation-states or countries, I guess there should be legal apparatus in place that controls immigration. On the other hand, the hypocrisy here is incredible. This whole country was formed by illegal immigrants. The United States of America was formed by illegal immigrants. And I think the Native Americans would like to kick our asses out even today. So, I'm just curious what people mean when they say be strong in immigration.
I meant trying to take the best approach, and I agree with what you just said. I'd put that in addition to
okay.
What I was saying, and our role in the world should be to. Gore's got a movie coming out on global warming, and our role with third world countries should be increased money in family planning, so we don't have a population of 14 billion people.
Okay, well, I get your point, Mark. You do have some good concerns, and I think it's good that you're thinking about these issues that you're thinking about. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you checking in. Robert is calling from Miami. Robert, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi. Well, Mr. Blass isn't here anymore, but I did want you and him to know that you made O'Reilly's list yesterday of the two most dangerous organizations that are preventing the victory in the war, BBC America and Air America, according to O'Reilly.
Wait a minute. Clap. It's good to be the king.
So I mean, it's very interesting that until you guys got out there with that information, the war was going great. So, you know, I guess you have a lot of power. And the other thing I wanted to mention along those lines, in a way, is the way the media mirrors the Republican talking points is quite amazing. One of the things lately, the Democrats must have a unified message in Iraq. The Democrats are drifting on Iraq, etc. Now, never before in history, when a political group in power was fumbling badly all the time or purposely screwing up the country, depending upon how you look at it, never before was the opposition required to say, what would we do when we get into power, even though we're 2.5 years away?
Yeah.
It was never necessary to have a unified message. In fact, the Democrats are screwing up by falling for this, like what Kerry has done, and I voted for Kerry and I worked for him, but what he did was not smart, because when they're fumbling and they're screwing up, this is what, when someone asks, why don't you have a unified message, this is what you say. You say, we do. Our unified message is, we will prevent the next unnecessary Bush war. He has made it clear he's not interested in our input on this one. He has made it clear that any outside or a force inside of his administration trying to tell him, you should do this better, he won't change. He has already said that to us. So what's the point of us telling you what he should do when he's going to be in power until January 2009? And he's told us he doesn't care what we think.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a way, in other words, let them trip on themselves. Don't propose something else that can be torn apart, such as a certain date to leave. Let them stew in their own incompetence.
Well, but I think those of us who want to see the troops withdrawn are people who don't want to see any more Iraqi deaths caused by us or American deaths caused by us. Hey, listen, I got to leave it there. Robert, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks, everybody, for participating tonight. I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
America Radio.
I'm Bob Harris to tell you about my new Smart Balance Omega Plus Light Mayonnaise with flax oil and plant sterols. New Smart Balance Omega Mayo has 500 milligrams of omega-3s per serving, natural plant sterols to help offset cholesterol, and half the fat and calories of regular mayonnaise. Enjoy my new Smart Balance Omega Light Mayonnaise in salads and sandwiches. You get an omega-3 wallop in every tasty dollop of my new Smart Balance Light Mayonnaise.
Syriana, on DVD now. Starring 2005 Academy Award winner George Clooney, Matt Damon, and Jeffrey Wright. And directed by Stephen Gagan, the Academy Award-winning writer of Traffic. Syriana, an uncommonly intelligent story. An explosive tour of global petropolitics, says USA Today. Newsday proclaims that Syriana raises the bar for every thriller that will come in its wake. And Time Magazine declares that Syriana is light years from the standard Hollywood movie. Syriana, own it on DVD now. Rated R for violence and language.